This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. In the last few weeks, WABE has aired a series of reports on some of the challenges facing Georgia schools at a time when the Atlanta Public Schools begin the year with a new superintendent. But perhaps the biggest challenge for all of Georgia schools is money. State lawmakers are now looking at changing the nearly 30-year-old formula for directing state dollars to local schools. And no matter who wins the governor's race in November, that discussion will intensify when the legislature convenes in January. Republican State Senator Lindsey Tippins of Marietta is the chairman of the Senate Education and Youth Committee. He also sits on the Appropriations Committee. Democratic State Representative David Wilkerson of Austell sits on the House Budget Committee. They join us now in the Senate offices. Gentlemen, welcome and thanks.
It's good to be here.
Glad to be here.
The dilemma seems to be, look, education takes up a huge chunk of the state's budget, and yet schools are underfunded based on the formula we have now. So will a change mean that schools will get more money that they can actually use? And Senator, I'll start with you.
I think it could mean either. There's two facets that will govern this. Number one is the total expenditure of how to what extent you will fund K-12 education. The second is, of the total funds available, how will it go to the schools, how will it go to the student? All education funding, if it is successfully crafted, follows the student's needs. And one of the first things you have to realize is that all students do not have the same level of needs. I think one thing that's never recognized is the fact that the cost for educating a student in urban areas most of the time is more than it is in rural areas because of the cost of living, and nowhere in our current formula is that reflected. So when we talk about rural-urban comparisons, personnel costs more because the cost of living is greater in urban areas.
So how would you want a new formula to take that into account?
I believe you have to first determine what it costs to actually educate a student, whether it be in the metro area, whether it be in the rural area. And we can't do that in a vacuum here at the Capitol. We have to actually talk to the folks down in those districts because what works in Cobb may not work in Quitman County or somewhere else. And so what we have to do is figure out what it costs to educate a student, look at that formula again, and then determine the best funding for that, realizing it's going to be a mix of your property taxes at your state, your local level and state income tax at your state level. So I think once we get a handle on that, then we can come up with a better formula.
I will say this, in terms of efficiencies, I believe we can economize a good deal in central administration costs. Each county in the state of Georgia has a school district. Some of them don't have, but a few less or a few over 1,000 students. We have high schools in Cobb County that have got 2,500 students in them. I think one of the areas we need to look at in formula is the possibility of consolidating maybe several of these different districts and have one superintendent and maybe have some local control in each county, but cut down on your central administration costs. You cannot run a centralized high school, but maybe you could save in some of your administrative costs and pool the resources in some of your administrative needs like curriculum planning, support for your teachers. I believe from a central administration standpoint, you could probably operate much more efficiently and run it as a district, as an area, maybe like a Senate seat. Some of our Senate districts have 13 or 14 counties in them. But I think that all needs to be part of the discussion.
And that would be one of those challenging discussions that we would have to have because
there'll be a lot of folks mad. Let's put it bluntly here:
that their school board person, their central office person does not live in their county. They can't walk down the street and talk to that person, so that would be one of the challenges that you would face if you looked at some of the consolidation.
So let me ask you, and you referred to this a little bit, each of you. What to you are the essential elements of the funding formula we ought to have?
Number one, student need needs to drive that. We need to have built-in efficiencies in operation. We need to guarantee that the public's getting a dollar's worth of service for a dollar's worth of taxes, whether they're locally or state-generated. Almost all the taxes come locally. They either go to the state government or the local government, but they all come from local individuals. That being said, I think what we have to realize is that in readjusting the formula, when QBE was set up, different aspects received different weights under the formula. That was set up in the mid-80s. If you think about the role that technology played in the mid-80s, it was not even on the radar. We need to reevaluate now what the true cost of education is for delivering a segment of education according to the student's individual need, and that should drive it. Now, that's going to be the complicated piece because we're not going to do away with teachers, but technology can drastically change the way instructions delivered in the classroom if the classroom has the hardware and the software and the connectivity to provide it. But it does no good to have technology equipment in the school if you don't have broadband access that you can access, that you can deliver it. So there's so many different facets to this. It will not be a quick or easy process, but it's got to be a thorough process if it's going to fairly represent the true needs.
And you also have to look at our student population. I think we talked about it earlier that, I mean, there's over 60% that qualify for free and reduced lunch. So as we talk about technology in the schools, we also have to think about when these students get home, will they have that high-speed access to be able to do the work? You know, do we look at just high-speed access, or do we give them discs, you know, that they can, you know, look at a DVR or something like that? So we have to look at the population. Plus, we have to make sure that we have funding streams that are balanced enough to withstand future recessions, you know, whether that be property taxes in addition to income taxes, and that we have a balanced stream going forward to make sure we can fund education properly.
Charter schools are something that weren't even thought about in 1985. Do you think that that debate may actually be either the hottest or at the core of what the question of priorities is?
I know it will be a key piece of it. I mean, charter schools are here to stay. They should be incubators of ideas and changes. We haven't seen that coming forward. The interesting thing is that they're supposed to be leaner and meaner in some ways, but we give them extra funding, to do a charter, you know, system. So it's one of those things that we definitely need to look at. You know, if they are truly going to be incubators of ideas, there should be some efficiencies that we can then transfer to the other type of school systems. But I think we definitely need to look at, you know, looking closer at the results of the charter schools in addition to the results of the public schools and seeing where we can improve.
Let me jump in on that, because I think you need to make a distinction between system charters into conversion charters, which are particular schools within a district when the entire district is not a charter, and you have then a startup charter, which is basically a private operator coming in and operating a charter district. One of the complaints that I've had about the charter model on a startup model is I would love to see a charter operator come in and take over an existing district and do a apples-to-apples comparison and take every kid that comes in and see how well that model works, because that's the only way you're ever going to know whether it truly is a more efficient model. You let me pick the kids that are in my school, I promise you I'll have a better educational outcome and I can do it for less dollars.
At the end of the 2015 session, will we have a new or revised funding formula for Georgia public education?
I wouldn't say at the end of 2015. I think that would be probably too soon to go back and do something during the 2015 session and then actually talk to the people at home to make sure we get their input. So I would think it should be realistic to do something by the end of the 2016 session. But it would have to be early on so that you don't get caught up in the, you know, the election cycle.
We need to start the process in 2015. I would imagine that it would be completed by the end of the 15-16 term.
We'll see what happens. Republican Senator Lindsey Tippins of Marietta is the chair of the Senate Education and Youth Committee. Democratic State Representative David Wilkerson of Austell sits on the Budget Committee in the House. Thanks to both of you for giving us this much time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dennis.